What is up? It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Coach Hill, Hillary Seiler. She is an NFL and NBA money coach, corporate financial wellness expert. We had an awesome conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. And then we got into the challenges of professional athletes and high income earners, closing that income and expense gap to build wealth, putting together personalized budgeting strategies, having the ability to say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things, and the challenge of having candid money conversations and the importance of being able to align yourself with people that you can trust, that know that you have their best interests in mind. And of course, we close with a great difference-making tip. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Hill, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Ooh, okay. So let's go with I've traveled to all 50 states. Huh? My first movie set experience was on Pineapple Express. Hmm? I am an avid gardener and I grow my own food.
Okay. I like it. Pineapple Express. What a movie. I haven't seen that one in
a minute. Takes you back a little, huh?
It's a classic. Been to all 50 states and you grow your own food. These are all extremely believable. I know that that you're a traveler. I know that I know where you live, and that suggests that you could, in fact, grow your own food. I don't know anything about your movie career or anything like that, Hill. So I am going to guess that you've not been to all 50 states.
Oh, you're right. That is the lie. I have not been to all 50 states. I'm close, but not there yet.
Which ones are you missing? Is it Hawaii, Alaska?
Oh, no. I lived in Hawaii for a couple of years. So that one was my... That's a sweet spot for me, but it's the Dakotas and the Carolinas.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. Probably saved North Dakota for last. No offense, North Dakota.
I'm good. I don't need to. I live in Idaho. I know what North Dakota looks like. It's just a lot colder.
There you go. Well, tell us about Pineapple Express.
Oh, gosh. That was, 2007. I was still in college and just happened to be dating a guy whose father is a world famous stunt director. And he brought me down to Sony Pictures Studio. I think I was 19, so it's quite a long time ago, and put me on the set of Pineapple Express. And this was before the people that played in that movie were actually very famous. So I didn't understand the gravitas of that situation. I was just hanging out, eating food and playing Halo in the Star trailers. Yeah, it was really cool to watch. The first scene I ever got to see filmed, an actual scene, was Craig Robinson's monologue as he gets hit by the car in the barn. If you've not seen Pineapple Express, spoiler alert, he dies. yeah, I got to watch him do his monologue and all the different takes. And then I got to watch the car go into the barn, and then I got to watch how they actually do that. And so that was pretty cool.
That's super cool. Nice.
Yeah.
And you do, in fact, grow your own food.
I do. Yeah. I am a master gardener. I have an orchard and a full garden. I grow all my own food about 8 months a year.
A master gardener.
Yeah. Went and got that certificate for fun.
Awesome. Well, good for you. That is super cool. All right. Well, we're off to a good start, Hill. What is top of mind for you right now?
You know, the world is a little nuts right now, and I am watching the conversations around money just become something very different than they were even maybe, say, a year ago. And I'm watching the struggle. And so what's top of mind for me as we approach Mental Health Month, which is May, and finance being a huge part of that, is really getting to the truth and reality of money instead of hiding behind the fear of it or not wanting to talk about it or making it a taboo subject. I'm really truly about the authenticity behind learning about money right now. And that's top of my mind. That's what I'm working on all month as I travel to different NFL facilities. Is this is how it looks. This is what it's really like, and not sugarcoating it or making it feel like a 60-second TikTok video.
Appreciate that. The truth about money.
Yeah.
Is there a truth about money, or is it just getting down to what my truth about money is?
More your values and your core truth, because everyone's is different and everyone's needs and wants are different. Everyone's lifestyle choices are different, which then drives their truth behind money. But I think there's also this underlying lack of education that just flows when it comes to money. There are people that make hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars a year, and they don't actually understand money. They don't know anything about it. They don't know how it works, how it moves, how to make it work for them. So there's this void that is left in society around money. And that's something that I'm always trying to bridge the gap between earning it and what you need to know when you earn it. And then before you step into a financial advisor's office, or if you use a robo advisor or whatever your choice is, what are the steps you need to take to go from making it to growing it? And there's a huge number of things you need to do, and we just don't talk about it as a society. So I like to fill in that gap.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, particularly when we're talking about professional athletes, they are like money-making machines.
You know, really it's kind of think interesting. About it. I hear that a lot, and then people learn what they actually make, and they pause and say, "Oh, they don't make as much money as I thought they did." I hear that a lot now, because more and more information comes out about what NFL and NBA athletes make, what NIL athletes are making. I mean, 18-year-olds in college, there are a very small few making a million plus a year. That's a very small number. The rest of them are still making money, but it's not at the capacity of the top 1%.
Right. Making it even more important then to be able to be a good steward, to manage your finances as well as you can. And the boundaries there are, we just don't know how.
That's the biggest hurdle. I have a dear friend of mine. His name is Julius Thomas. He played in the NFL for about 8 years. He now has his PhD in mental wellness, and he focuses on peak performance and working with people to understand how they think about everything in life, and money's one of them. And he said to me, he said something interesting. He said, if there isn't a gap between what you make and what you spend, you'll never know wealth. And I said, absolutely. He said, here's the problem. Nobody teaches us that there needs to be a gap. And I said, I completely agree. He said, we just need to have that gap. We are in such a consumer-driven society where you go on social media or you go on Amazon and they're constantly sending you deals of the day and things that are actually front and center for you. I mean, I could randomly say, I want to buy a mini cow. And I said that once. And all of a sudden, my entire Instagram feed was mini cows. And I was like, oh, my phone's listening to me. So we are never given a reprieve from being sold products and services and everything else. We're encouraged to spend everything that we make. And so there isn't a gap. And without a gap, we can't actually start building wealth. And I always found that really interesting because that came from a guy who realized if he didn't find that gap between what he earned and what he spent, he wasn't going to be a millionaire because the money goes out faster than he can earn it.
I don't know that I'd be mad if I was targeted by mini cow sellers just because I don't know that I've ever seen one. So mini cows, I just told my phone that. So now
they're
now,
very real and they're very cute. And I really want one. And bless my father's heart because he lives right down the street. He has to take care of my animals when I travel. And he's like, I don't want a cow. And I said, okay.
Thank you. No.
We'll wait a couple years.
How funny. So totally agree with the gentleman that you're talking about. If you don't have that gap between what you earn and what you spend, you're never going to become financially successful or have the ability to pursue wealth. And so many of us are in the habit of spending every penny that we earn, even though I don't think that we think about it as a habit. But if I do it repeatedly, that's exactly what it is.
The habit.
And how interesting from a professional athlete standpoint, or just somebody who now is earning more money than perhaps they ever have. So you come from a situation where maybe you came from a poor upbringing and now you have all this money, or even if you just have consistently had a bunch of money, you allow your lifestyle to absorb or eat up all of the money. So those are both sort of unique problems.
Well, and it happens to people at every level of the game, not just the NFL, but C-suite executives making $500,000 a year and they don't have anything in savings. I see people that barely make an ends meet, which is hard, and they can't pay all their bills. The problems are different, and not to say one is worse than the other, because you never know what someone's situation is. I never want to prejudge. And I used to do this and say, oh, you make enough money. You don't actually know if that person maybe has $1 million in medical bills they're paying off. This person could have had somebody that died and they inherited a bunch of stuff that they didn't know that they had to inherit and pay off. There's there's so many things in life that we have that are behind a curtain. And so I never assume, oh, you make good money, you should be fine, because you never know what happened to that person in their prior years, or how they got to where they are. So when I'm looking at finances or talking to whether it's an employee at a company making $30,000 a year or an NFL player who just signed his second contract and now he's got a 3-year, $40 million deal, it's ironic that the conversations, the baseline conversations, are still the same. What do you value? What is important to you? And what are the things you are going to do to get yourself to that enough point, that end goal? And we don't have those conversations enough with people around us to motivate us to stick to those goals. And so a lot of what I work on as a financial coach and have with our Train Your Money framework for the last, shoot, 15 years is take accountability, apply the education that you are learning, and then bring awareness as you are moving through that process to everything that you're doing. And it will change your habits. And as you said, you're like, well, if I do it all the time, it's a habit, right? Same concept. We build in financial habits subconsciously when we're younger without realizing they might actually be detrimental to us. So we have to reframe all of the things that we're learning. And that's what's top of mind for me. Money is scary right now. People are freaking out about it. We don't know what's what. We can't really predict what's going to happen. So control what you can control. And that's scary for a lot of people because there's fear in really knowing what you have, because then you have to come face to face with the mirror and say, oh, I'm not doing this right. And that's very uncomfortable. And that's where I see a lot of people struggle.
Yeah, which certainly makes sense. I suppose that we avoid things that we're intimidated by or make us feel less than or whatever the term may be. So the idea, the reality that we have to take responsibility or accountability or ownership over our personal finances, I think that that's obviously really important. And if I'm being honest with myself and I say, I'm just never going to do this, I think that that's okay too, but you need to find somebody who will, if it's your spouse or a financial advisor, right?
Yes. Everyone has their strengths and weaknesses. And if you know that money is not your strength and you have someone in your corner that you trust, always double check everything, but you have someone in your corner you trust that can actually do it for you or at least guide you through the majority of the stuff so you know what's happening. I think it's important that you know your weaknesses and you lean on those people. I have really good friends that just they'll call me and they'll say, I can't budget. This doesn't work for me. I hear that all the time. And my response is, well, how are you budgeting? And oh, I have a piece of paper and I write everything down. And I said, that's great if you've been doing it and it's brought some awareness, but maybe that isn't working for you because it's too time consuming or it's not automated or you need a different system that allows you to budget your own way. And so my big thing when we talk about accountability isn't that you're doing it wrong. You probably just haven't found a way that works for you. And that's where good financial teams come in. That's where someone in your corner being able to walk you through stuff that you might not understand is very powerful. Here's the problem, though. How many people ask for help when it comes to money?
Probably not very many.
Not very many. Because we're embarrassed, we're fearful, we don't want to be judged by how we've done things. So, for someone to be candid and open about their financial life with another person is immensely difficult for most people. Now, I do it for a living, so I love talking about all the things I've done wrong because I'm like, I don't want you to do it too. But then the things I've done right, I sometimes forget to share those wins with people. And it's very important that you do both because the wins keep you going towards the goal. And if you've made a mistake, trust me, everyone has. But being able to share that with someone and get candid feedback is very powerful.
Yeah, I totally agree. And credit you for being vulnerable and say, hey, I've made lots of great financial decisions and I've made all the dumb ones.
Oh,
And I
yes.
share that just to let you know that I'm a regular human being and we all do stupid stuff with money and everything else. So in terms of somebody saying, I just can't budget, and perhaps they are trying to fit somebody else's budget onto their world, and so it's just oil and water or a square peg and a round hole kind of a thing. And it strikes me that you're probably, when you're dealing with very successful people, in whatever arena it is, that they are oftentimes doing that or living a lifestyle that they think that they should be living, but maybe not necessarily true to who they really are.
Oh yeah. That's probably the most common thing I face with incoming rookies is the expectations that everybody puts on them because of their job. We're all labeled in some way, shape, or form in society, and usually that label begins with whatever you do for a living. And when you are an NFL player and you can go on Sporttrack and Google everything that they've earned, everything they're going to earn, what their salary is, what their bonuses are, all of the above. There is this interesting expectation, and it comes from a lot of different angles. Society assumes you're going to have a nice car, a big house, luxury, everything on your body, chains, watches, whatever the societal norm is that year, because it does change. And then the family expectation, depending on the family, vastly different family to family. Some families need more help, some don't expect anything, some expect a lot of things. And again, there's no wrong answer to this. That's just the expectations that are set upon these young men. And then all of that to say you have the team expectation, and that's the actual work piece of it. And people forget that this is very much a job that you can be fired from. And the moment you're fired, you don't get paid anymore. So they might sign a $30 million contract, but if none of that money is guaranteed, if they do not play, they do not get paid. Similar to you and I, if I'm working a job at a company and I get fired tomorrow, I'm not getting paid anymore. And that's private. Most people aren't going to see that. When an NFL player gets cut or they sign a bonus, it's very public. Which does change the dynamic of how we have to talk about things. As we discussed, accountability, hard. Talking about money, even harder. Imagine if you had a spotlight on you and everything you were doing was judged. It makes the money decisions and expectations that much more difficult. And so when we are talking about how do you manage lifestyle? How do you manage spend? I always ask the guys, how do you like to actually look at your money? Do you like it in one big pot? Do you want to see it broken out into different buckets? Do you not want to see it at all and just give yourself all the money goes into an account and you pay yourself once a month to pay all your bills and you roughly know what your bills are, so you're good. And every guy gives me a different answer. And same with my employees. I ask all the time, would you guys like to handwrite a budget? Do you want to do it digitally? Do you want an app? Do you want it to be bucketed? Do you just want your ACH deposits to go into multiple different accounts so you don't have to think about it? How do you want money to move for you? And that actually lends to a lot of people creating budgets in ways they never thought. They're not down to the penny. They're doing it with separate bank accounts, and they're doing it with, hey, I'm going to pay myself $3,000 a month, and everything else goes into this account, and I don't look at it. When I say reframe how you think about it, a standard budget is great for about 20 to 30% of the population. Everything else needs to be done in how you think. Are you type A? Are you a little bit more of a I'm super organized and super detailed. Are you going to be that person that's just like, meh, I just really want my account to just have what it needs and not worry about it? The way you think is also going to determine how you choose to manage money. So there's so many more factors than just you need a 50, 30, 20 budget. When people say that to me, I'm like, that's a great starting point. It's a wonderful formula, but it doesn't work for everybody.
And we need something that's going to work.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be down to the penny, perfect. It just has to work for you so that your lifestyle and your ability to save are in place and you can do it.
Is there a time where you find, and just specifically to professional athletes, that they're amenable to having these kinds of conversations, or is it just completely vary?
The way that the NFL personally has it set up and the way the NBA does it are different. The NBA, I have a lot more one-on-one relationships with the players in the sense that I'm in a room with two of them or one of them versus 20. So the conversations flow a little more naturally, and they're open with me because I spend an entire year getting to know them as people, not them as basketball players. And quite frankly, I don't really watch sports, so I don't really care that that's what they do for a living. I care that they're happy, healthy, and living a good life. So I get to know them as people, I get to know their families, and I'm able to have real hard conversations in real time throughout the course of a season. Takes a little bit of time to build that trust, but once we have it, we're good. The NFL, totally different. We got much larger roster sizes. Same with employees. I'll go do a keynote conference for 250 employees and I'll leave them with true tools that they can use, but it's more one-on-one. They have to go do it themselves versus me physically coaching them. Same with the NFL. I do get 5-6 calls a week. I always do. I have since I started working in the NFL 10 seasons ago, but it's always either after a session and they've already met me. It's not usually after our first session, or it's when life happens. And so it can be hit or miss. And there's really no, hey, I know I'm going to get 8 calls this week because it's this game, right? It doesn't quite work like that. So it does require a level of trust. And it, as you can see, I don't use names. I don't even talk about the teams I work with intentionally. This is one thing that they get to keep private. And that piece of it, I think, is what has made the financial coaching at the elite level of the NFL and the NBA work. The conversations they're having are the same ones I'm having with everybody else. And I don't think people realize that. So it's an interesting dichotomy. They're earning a ton. We're having the same conversations.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You said hard conversations, and we need to have frank, candid, interrogate reality talks mm-hmm. with people about their money. Yeah. My perception would be, because I don't interface with professional athletes very often, is that they probably don't have a lot of people that are giving them pushback and telling them no. I would guess almost the opposite. It's what can I get you? And, you know, how can I help versus no, what you're doing is bad behavior.
Yeah, I'm one of the no's, for sure. The hard conversations, though, with athletes aren't so much the no. It's the understanding when to say yes, because they have a lot of people telling them yes, but they are the core of their financial life. They have to learn when they can say yes, when they can say no, and what those right boundaries are. I'll give you an example. I had a guy long time ago, it's probably been 6 or 7 seasons now, and he was having some serious family drama, single mom, a couple of brothers and sisters, and they were gonna lose their house, the house he grew up in. And one of the things that he said to me was, I just need to send them money to fix the problem. And I said, pause a minute. Will sending money actually fix the core issue? He's like, well, it'll save the house. I said, we can save the house. I'm not worried about saving the house. Does it fix the core issue? And he said, I don't know, I'm gonna have to think about it. So I saw him about a week later. He said, you know, I'm gonna save the house, but I'm gonna do it in my name. I'm gonna buy it from my family so that I control the asset and they can rent it from me. And I said, I think that's great. Cause he really had thought through it and went to his advisor. He said, and now I have to tell my mom that she's my tenant. And I went, that's gonna suck. And I was honest, I was like, that's really gonna suck. And he said, how do I approach it? And I said, you're going to go to her directly. This is not a phone conversation. And you guys are going to sit down and you're going to talk through how it got to the point of losing the house, what you're doing to fix it, and how you're going to go about fixing it and why. And he did that. He did the whole explanation. He sat down with her. I think they talked for 2 hours. She wasn't happy with him, but she understood the why behind what he was structuring and why he took over the mortgage. And as time has gone on, their relationship has actually improved because she understands that he isn't in it for the wrong reasons. He really did want to help her, but he wasn't going to jeopardize his financial life to bail his family out. And although that conversation was very difficult in the moment, after that happened, it's been a very good thing for him for the last 6 years. So hard conversations can be difficult, but they can also lead to really good things.
Yeah, totally. That makes a ton of sense. And it does really come down to being good decision making with what you do say yes to. Because when you say yes to one thing, you say no to everything else.
Well, and that goes for anyone. Anything you're doing, there's always an opportunity cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it. Well, Hill, you've given us a lot, but we're ready for that difference making tip. What do you have for us?
Ooh, a difference making tip. Okay, let's talk hard conversations since we've been doing that. If you have someone in your life that you are working on finances with, or you're combining finances, or you are married, or you have a spouse or a sig other, or you are single and you have never shared your financial picture with someone, so let's run the whole gamut here, I encourage you to contact that person and ask if you guys can sit down and go through your finances together. And that could be you're calling a family member. That could be you're sitting your spouse down and saying, hey, I just want to look at everything. I want to make sure we're on the same page. Start doing that once a month or every couple of months and keeping the dialogue going around your money, whether it's a goal, whether it's a problem, whether it's, hey, I want to have this much in a bank account. Doesn't matter what you're talking about, as long as you start the conversation and then keep it rolling. Because when it does come time to have a true hard conversation, you now have a plan in place and that person knows to expect that you're going to come to them about money. So I encourage you all to start a conversation with someone you know, love, and trust now, share some information, get some feedback, have an accountability buddy. And then when the hard conversations has to happen, you have someone in your corner.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on. Hillary, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Yeah, financialfootwork.com, or our social handle is financial@financialfootwork on every social platform. The only one we don't have is TikTok. I refuse to get on TikTok because TikTok shop is dangerous. So that's the only thing we're not on. But join us there. Join the conversation. We're constantly engaging with our community. We'd love to have you.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Hill your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to financialfootwork.com and learn more about Hill and what she is working on, and find them on social media, Financial Footwork. And I will certainly link all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Hill.
Thank you.
Finally, friendly reminder, exactly what we've been talking about. There's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.